Well, good morning, everybody. It's really wonderful to be with you this morning. My name is Andrew, as hopefully you've picked up by now, and I work for, surprise, surprise, WorldShare. Just before we kind of launch into what we're going to share this morning, quick question. Hands up if you've actually heard of WorldShare before today, March. Oh, good. Very good. Excellent. Thank you very much for that. Okay. I like to generally explain that when I go and visit places, that WorldShare is the international Christian mission organization that's over 80 years old and that very few people have heard of. And the reason is that, well, I think we just haven't done a very good job, really, of sharing what WorldShare does. It was established back in 1943 in response to the purge by the Chinese authorities on overseas missionaries in China. And what was happening was they were either ejecting missionaries or they were arresting them and detaining them in prison camps. A young missionary by the name of Duncan McRoberts from Bangor in Northern Ireland. Anyone from Northern Ireland here? No? Okay. No problem. I didn't suspect there probably would be, but you never know. Duncan McRoberts managed to get out of China and get to the US, where he realized that for the church to continue to flourish in the work they've been done, it needed to be supported to help those indigenous Christians who'd found the Lord to continue the work. And so that's how WorldShare was established, since then, over the last 80 years, it's grown globally beyond just China, and we work in these six areas of kind of Christian ministry, all of which are gospel-centric. Everything we do is working either with churches or church Christian organizations to reveal the gospel in a variety of different ways, and you can see there that includes community building, education, evangelism, direct evangelism, healthcare, disaster relief, and tackling injustice. And this morning, just for a few moments, I want to just share something with you in relation to two short verses. The first of which is taken from Psalm 33, verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And one other short verse as well from the book of Psalms, which comes from Psalm 146 and verse 5, which says this: Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. I don't know about you, but for many in today's society, there is a sense of hopelessness. One of our brothers this morning prayed. There's a general election coming up on Thursday. And there is a I don't know if it's the same here, but where we live up in the north, and WorldShare is based in Doncaster, there is a real sense of the fact that people want some hope. People in this country want some kind of hope. This isn't the hope that the gospel refers to. The hope of a changed government, the hope of a different new start. The hope of the gospel is an eternal hope, which I'm sure you all know. The hope of the gospel is that we as individual people who have been loved by God can discover through Jesus Christ a personal relationship, have our sins forgiven, and be able to be made new. That's an incredible hope that the world desperately needs to hear. Now, WorldShare only works overseas, and I wanted just for a few minutes, if I can, to share something of what it means in the various contexts of our ministry partners globally as they bring this hope, as they wait in hope. Now, one of the things that before joining WorldShare, I was a pastor of a church in Bristol for 18 years, and we would have mission trips around the world, taking groups from the church to do various things. We would travel to places like Africa and the east of Europe, but the very first mission trip we led was to Cuba, And we took a group of people to smuggle Bibles into Cuba. And I could tell you lots of stories about how God protected us in that process. But I want to just share you one little story. We met up with a small church in the middle of nowhere that had been established by someone who was the head of the science department in the local secondary school. He found the Lord one night in a service. He found this hope in Jesus Christ. The next day he was pulled into the headmaster's office or the principal's office. And as I'm sure you're aware, in many of these countries where it's a communist rule, there were lots of spies everywhere. And he was called into the head's principal's office and asked, "Have you become a Christian?" At which point he replied, "Yes, I have." Then came the ultimatum. "Either you renounce your Christianity or you will no longer work here in this school." The reply was, "How can I renounce the Savior who I found?" At which point he was turfed from the school and made unemployed at that moment because of the hope that he had in Jesus Christ. It was beyond the hope of a job. And he founded a small little church in the middle of nowhere in a really poor area. Now, when we went there, we had a group of young people who came with us. And the people that were there, part of this church, bearing in mind that none of them have making a profession of Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ, were unable to work. So they were really impoverished. And one of the things that we did was we took some money. And I told all the young people at the end of the service that we were involved with that what I want you to do is shake hands with people as they leave. And as you do so, you pass over in the handshake a denominational note to be a blessing to all the congregation. One young man did as we asked, and a lady he shook hands with walked off, and then a few seconds later she turned back round with tears in her eyes coming up to this young man. Now, we didn't speak Spanish, but we managed to find the translator, and she said, "I have been praying that God would provide me with enough money to buy my daughter a pair of shoes." The money that had been given to this woman was the exact amount she needed to buy the pair of shoes for her child. You see, she was waiting in hope for the Lord. She knew that he was her help and her shield. And she was blessed as a result of seeing that reality come into effect physically and tangibly that Sunday morning. That had a tremendous impact on me as pastor, and stirred inside of me a desire to want to see the reality of the love of God revealed far and wide, not just in the church I was pastoring, but globally as well. And there's a story which I haven't got time to tell you about how I had to leave the church. God called me to leave the church that I've been pastoring for 18 years to become involved in wheelchair. But maybe we'll tell that story another day, because I want to get on and share with you some things. Now, this is Myanmar. Anyone know where Myanmar is? Or what it was previously called? Burma. Yes, indeed. And if you know anything about Myanmar, you'll know that it is in the civil conflict. Many of the places that wheelchair works are in places of conflict. And this is no different. This is the Word of Hope Church, who run an orphanage for 50 children. Now, Worldchair has a child sponsorship program, and we sponsor every single child in that orphanage. But they also run a Bible school and a Bible college for young people, many of whom who come through the orphanage, find the Lord Jesus, and then want to come on in and study in the Bible school. They get a degree, and then they go back to the rural communities to become pastors and teachers and leaders women's group leaders and all sorts of stuff like that. It's a real blessing to be able to be a partner with this church and with Pastor Pau, who's just here. This is the pastor, Pastor Pau. And it's amazing what small amounts can do in terms of being a big blessing. They contacted us end of last year or early this year and said, Wheelchair is our only outside source of support in the world. And they said to us that the electricity source in Myanmar is really bad. It will just turn off like this in an instant. So can you imagine what it'd be like Sunday morning, or maybe in the middle of winter time, probably be better, when you got your lights on and suddenly everything has to go plunged into darkness. That's what was happening every week over there. And they asked us, Wheelchair, would you be able to help us to try and buy a 16 kVA generator so that we can have permanent electricity when we're running church and when we're running the Bible college? And we said, well, we'll see what we can do. But Wheelchair is not a big organ. We're not a big charity. We're not one of these massive evangelical lunch tier funds or anything like that. We're a small group of staff in Doncaster. But what we do is we try and seek to serve our ministry partners in the best way we could. And so we launched an appeal. We raised some funds, and as you can see in the background, that is the generator that we managed to raise the money for. This is the leadership and some of the congregation thanking God for the provision of a generator, praying over the generator, giving thanks to the Lord that this real need that they had been met, because they continued to have hope in the Lord as the one who could provide for them. And we praise God that Wheelchair has been able to be a little part of that provision. And that's how God works. God uses his people to be able to meet the needs of others. And it's a joy and a privilege to be a part of it. So that's Myanmar. Let's jump a little bit back towards the UK in Africa. This is Accra in Ghana. Accra is the capital city of Ghana. Now, Accra is not a conflict zone, but there are very impoverished areas. This is a school called the High Priest Academy, which is run by a church in Accra by the Reverend Samuel Amponsa. 22 years ago, he established in his church a nursery creche as a safe place for mums in the church to better leave their children so that they could go and earn money for their families and for the community around. Each year, more children would be brought, and so a school was established. 22 years later, they now have 130-odd children in their school. And Wheelchair has been privileged to be able to stand alongside them since last year, when during COVID, these children really struggled, or because the school really struggled. Why? Because 70% of the children are paid for by sponsorship and by the church. And during COVID, it decimated the church, and so the school was really struggling because it didn't have the finance to be able to help support the families. Teachers went unpaid for 3 months, and it got to the stage where Pastor Amponsa was desperate, and yet his hope continued to be in the Lord. He waited in hope for the Lord. And Wheelchair got to hear about this situation, and we responded, and we entered into a partnership with the school for a minimum of 3 years, up to 5 years, so that the church can be re-strengthened again. And at this moment in time, we are providing funds to be able to enable those children to receive a nutritious meal every day in school, and also to make sure that all of the staff are paid for, and it's through the generosity of donors who realize that this is a tangible revelation of God's love and hope for this generation of children. I was there last March, and they spend 2 hours on a Monday morning in worship as part of their curriculum. They all gather, and it's incredible the way in which they share the gospel and the children love Jesus. Whether they know him when they come in or not, they get to meet with Jesus in their school. Now, one of the things that we've done, if you, I don't know if you can see in the background, can you see those kind of glass louvre? I'm leaning it into this microphone, I don't need to, do I? These glass louvre windows, can you see those? So the classrooms are based right outside, right next to an open sewer. So I'm sure you can imagine that during certain times of the year, it's not the best environment. They had literally open window frames with rebar in them, which was literally what. So obviously mosquitoes and everything could kind of come in. The doors didn't fit properly. And one of the things that we were able to do was to help provide them with those louvre windows, a simple little solution where they could secure the classrooms every night and prevent the mosquitoes and stuff getting in overnight, so that the children could go and learn in the morning without having to be fumigated every morning. Small little things that make a massive difference. To us, it's insignificant. But to these guys, it is huge. And they see time and time again the provision of God meeting their needs as they continue to wait and hope on the Lord. At the moment, one of the big things that they're trying to do is trying to create a computer classroom. One of the elements of the curriculum is computer technology. But that school can't afford it. And so the children, when they leave this education establishment and go on to high school, they are at a disadvantage, because many of the other kids have had the opportunity to learn something about what it means to have access to computers. And so what WorldShare is trying to do at this moment in time is raise enough money so that we can set up a computer classroom for them, so that all the children can begin to learn something of this really important area. Jesus says he's come to give us life, and life to the full or in abundance. We believe that the gospel, when it's revealed in these tangible ways, are an expression of the abundant life that Jesus brings. Okay. Would you like to hear a little bit more? Okay. Staying in Africa. This is Uganda. This is Wakisa. What can you tell me about everyone that you see there? What jumps out of you, first of all? Yeah, pregnant. Yeah, exactly. So Wakisa is a pregnancy crisis center for 13 to 19-year-olds. It was established 18 years ago by a woman who had an incredible encounter with God speaking into her life. She was initially, she was a young nurse, and in her first week of being in the hospital, a young girl of 14 came in to the hospital, bleeding profusely. This young girl had been raped, became pregnant, and did not know what to do. And so she self-aborted, came into the hospital, and unfortunately, they couldn't save her. Time went on, and this young nurse herself became a mother and ended up joining the Mother's Institute of their local church. Years later, a mother came to speak into that meeting, telling the story of how her daughter had been raped, got pregnant, but had died in hospital. Vivian, who's the lady who established the ministry, realized that here was the mother of that girl that she'd been involved with at that hospital. And God spoke to her and said to her, I want you to do something so that no child has to go through this again. And so she established Wakisa Ministries. You see, the problem is over in Uganda, many young girls are sexually abused by family members, by neighbors, and if they become pregnant by that, they are shunned by their communities. Wakisa was set up to take girls from all over Uganda, to nurture them through their pregnancy, to teach them about the love of Jesus, to teach them about forgiveness and restarting and hope that there is in him. And so Wakisa enables young girls to be able to be nurtured and encouraged. They are taught skills to be able to help support themselves and their babies. If they're in education, they continue to make sure that the girls don't miss out on education. And what Wakisa, the latest project that Wakisa are undertaking is they've just finished building this medical center on their compound. They have an education center, they have accommodation. This is their new project that they've just completed. Why would they need a medical center? Quite simply, because many of these girls, if they have complicated pregnancies, they have to go to the local hospital. The local hospital's facilities are at best wanting. Bear in mind that many people will put huge amount of shame on these girls through no fault of their own. Huge judgment. And often if they have to go through a traumatic birth, they have to go to the, as I say, the local hospital. This is a facility which is going to enable all the girls to have all their children on site in a safe environment with medical staff on hand so that none of them have to go through additional trauma as they give birth to their children. This is what it looks like inside. It's just a shell at this moment in time. But what WorldShare is trying to do is to raise enough money so that we can help equip that facility. Because the stage over there is that the building has to be done, the building has to be equipped, and then they have to apply to the health board to be able to prove that they are a facility which is worth registration by the government. And then they can begin the process of gaining Christian midwives, Christian doctors, nurses to come and serve those young women. I could tell you lots of stories of other places that we're working in. Places like the Democratic Republic of Congo, Haiti, Guatemala, India, Pakistan. But I want to just close, if I may, just for 2 seconds, to talk about our latest ministry that we've just literally joined up with. This is the Baptist Church in Gaza. I'm sure that many of you will know that the situation in Gaza has been going on since Israel was invaded by Hamas on October the 7th. The Isle of Wight, what's the population of the Isle of Wight? 150,000. Gaza has about the same landmass as the Isle of Wight. There are 2 million people that live on that landmass. And there are less than 1,000 Christians within a population of 2 million. Estimated about 800 Christians live in that environment. The Gaza Baptist Church was established back in 1959. And this here is Pastor Dr. Hanna Massad. He was the first Palestinian Christian to lead that church. Unfortunately, he had to be forced to leave Gaza. The reason being that one of the leadership in the church was kidnapped, tortured, and murdered by Islamist militants. And Pastor Massad was approached by the authorities and said, "You and your family are on their list. You need to leave for your own safety." So he fled with his family to Jordan, and he is currently living in the US. But in fact, at this moment in time, he's back in Jordan. He returns to the country about 3 or 4 times a year and ministers to the congregation via online stuff at this moment in time. But the work of the Christian Mission to Gaza, which he founded in 1999, continues. Based in and through the Baptist Church in Gaza, which is what it looks like today. It was attacked by a missile, I think, during the conflict. And so the church is inoperable. That's what it looks like today. And yet they are serving their community in Jesus' name. This is the queue for water. This is their work in trying to create food for not only the Christians, but for neighbors around them as well. And you can see the desperate look on some of those faces as they are trying to gain anything in terms of food. The situation in Gaza is horrendous. Now, WorldShare wasn't in a position last October to respond to this, although we had calls from our supporters saying, "What's WorldShare doing?" And we couldn't do anything at that point because we were already involved in helping the relief effort following the earthquake in Turkey at that point. But we've been working very hard over the past few months doing a lot of due diligence and establishing a relationship with Christian Mission to Gaza. And we've just launched an appeal to help them continue with their humanitarian work, and also once the conflict's over, to help rebuild lives, get the church back open. And they also run the only evangelical school in Gaza, a place called Lighthouse School, which takes children who are Christian, Muslim, and they preach the gospel and teach the gospel to all these children. All schools in Gaza are shut as a result of the conflict at this moment in time. But this is one of their key ministries, the provision of bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." These are tangible examples of Jesus being revealed to those in need. You can see the tents that many of them are in, and this child is taking her daily provision of bread. So, you may ask, how can I help? Well, we all say there's three things you can do. You can pray. You can give. And you can share. Pray. How can I pray? Every month, WorldShare produces this. It's our WorldShare prayer calendar. And every day there is a prayer point. This is starting tomorrow, July, starting tomorrow. I have some paper copies if you're interested. Every day of the month, there is something on there of one of our ministry partners around the world, either a praise point or a prayer request in relation to their particular situation. If you're someone whose calling is to pray, we would love you to be a part of what we're doing in praying for those around the world. Giving. Well, there's several ways that you can give, if you'd like to. You can speak to me if you'd like to about any of those different ways. But I mentioned before about our child sponsorship program in Myanmar. This is Sayatani from Kolkata, one of our other ministry partners. She's the only child that we have on our books who doesn't have a sponsor. She's 17 years of age, and the reason she doesn't have a sponsor is because the person who's been sponsoring her for the last 5 years phoned us up last week and said, "I can no longer afford with my financial situation to support the children that I'm supporting." And so we are asking, is there anyone who might consider being able to take on this child for the last year of her education? If you'd like to know more about that, please come and see me afterwards. Then sharing. Well, there's two ways you can do this. I'm going to give you a little bit of a sneak preview of something that's coming tomorrow. Has anyone actually been onto the WorldShare website at all? Those who know about WorldShare. Okay. If you go on after tomorrow, we've got a brand new website which is coming tomorrow. We've been working on it for the last 6 months, and it's launching tomorrow. By 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, it'll be up and running. So if you want to find out anything more about any of the information that I've been sharing today, you can check out our website, which details are in our publications. But sharing. This is a project that we're trying to launch this year across the nation with churches called Cup of Hope, trying to bring and support the hope that our ministry partners give across the world. And if this is something that you think you maybe could hold in your church, perhaps, maybe to share with others, or maybe you could have it in your home or in church, we would love for you to undertake a Cup of Hope coffee morning in support of our work. We will provide you with all the resources that you need, including the bunting. Even to the extent of providing WorldShare bunting, we will provide it all for you to make it as simple as possible. Again, if you'd like to know more about that, then please speak to me afterwards. I've got a little kind of flyer, which is how you can get involved in that. And just finally, for those who maybe haven't heard about what we do, this is our publication, Window. It's got information about ministries that we're supporting, some of the things I've mentioned today and others. You can take a paper copy of that today. There's some on the back table if you'd like to take one, or you can sign up and get it digitally if you prefer. We'd love for you to take these. I don't really want to take them home with me, to be honest with you. I've kind of brought them 260 miles down from Doncaster. I don't really need to take them back again. If you can make use of them, please do. Finally, one final thing. If you've been interested in finding, want to find out some more about what's going on in Gaza, We are holding an online live Zoom prayer event on the 10th of July at 7:30 p.m. where Dr. Massad will be joining us live to share something of what's going on there and the realities of the situation, and people from across the UK will be joining to pray. We'd love if you're interested to join us in that, and we can give you details of how you can do that. So, in summary, every single one of us can bring something of the hope of Jesus Christ into people's lives. The people we serve need to see the reality of the gospel revealed to them in their lives, often before they'll openly accept the preaching of the gospel. They need to experience the love of God and the hope of Jesus tangibly, and then they're often ready to receive the gospel spiritually. We'd love to be able to share with you more. Our time's gone, but thank you so much for the opportunity to share a little bit about WorldShare this morning. I'll be around afterwards if you've got any questions or would like to know some more. Thank you so much for your time this morning. God bless you.